We're finishing up the Gospel according to John. This morning, reading from the 20th chapter, verses 26 through 31. And I invite you, this is a pretty familiar story, but listen for any words or phrases that stand out for you or apply to our church. Starting with verse 26, this is after Jesus has appeared to the disciples in the upper room following his crucifixion. A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. May God bless our hearing and our understanding of these scriptures. Anything new or anything jump out for you this morning? Yes, Violet.
Do not doubt, but believe.
Do not doubt, but believe. Yeah.
Believing without seeing.
Believing without seeing. Yeah.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you. Yes, a good word. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Well, how many of you are football fans? Quite a few. Condolences to the Denver Bronco fans, Melanie's Buffalo Bills too, and I guess my Detroit Lions. Any Philadelphia Eagles or Kansas City Chiefs fans? Okay, some any are brand new or they are surely celebrating this week. And there were some great games along the way too. Celebrations can be spectacular. Of course, we all want to be connected with the winning team, don't we? But usually when one team celebrates, there's another team that does not. Now, while the players and all the fans of the Chiefs and Eagles went crazy with their wins last Sunday, the Bills and Commanders and their fans were quietly contemplating defeat, all their hopes and dreams crushed, hiding their faces, not wanting to weep on national TV. Does anyone celebrate losers? That upper room in our scripture, where Jesus' teammates, the disciples, were huddled after the crucifixion, it was not a place of celebration either. The disciples were hiding their faces, defeated, all their hopes and dreams crushed, when Jesus suddenly appeared and said, "May peace be with you." Then he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were very happy when they saw the Lord. Suddenly, the disciples seemed to be on the winning side. They had seen Jesus, who had been cruelly executed by the Romans. They had seen he was alive, all except for Thomas that first time. And you know the story. Thomas was one of the 12. He was called Didymus. He was not with the other disciples when Jesus came, so they told him, "We have seen the Lord," just like the winning team. But he said to them, "First, I must see the nail marks in his hands. I must put my finger where the nails were. I must put my hand into his side. Only then will I believe what you say." Thomas could not believe Jesus was alive, not because he didn't believe in resurrection. Most good Jews did. And Thomas had witnessed Lazarus' resurrection. But Thomas still could not believe that the Messiah had to die. No one did. Why would God choose to raise someone who had been defeated so badly? Someone who had been executed in shame, a loser? The Messiah was supposed to rescue his people from centuries of oppression. The Messiah was supposed to complete God's plan for the redemption of Israel and thus the whole world. The Messiah was supposed to raise up a redeemed people who, empowered by the Holy Spirit, would join God in building his kingdom on earth. The Messiah was supposed to stand up to the power and violence of Rome. But how could someone so powerless, in the face of that Roman violence, really be the Messiah? How could this loser Jesus be our Savior? It wasn't to prove he was alive that Thomas needed to touch Jesus' hands and side. Thomas needed to touch the scars of that hideous execution to believe that someone so powerless against that violence could actually be the Messiah, the one saving humanity from that same power and violence. What Thomas and Christians for 2,000 years struggled with was that our salvation seems to come from losing. What kind of Savior is this that willingly submits to the powers he's supposed to overthrow, the violence he's supposed to end? What a disappointment. Thomas wanted a Jalen Hurts or a Patrick Mahomes, a winner. But he got what looked more like the Denver Broncos of last season. We want a Patrick Mahomes too, don't we? We want Christians to be celebrated. We want the church to grow and be popular. We want to be on the winning side. We want a Savior who wins in this world, don't we? Not a Savior who continues to not even fight. Who continues to lay down before the forces of power and violence, who calls his disciples to do the same? Does anyone disagree with me? Say it again. What's that? Okay. We want someone. We want a winner. And maybe that's why, you remember those left behind books that were so popular a while back? Those books and the theology behind them, which say that those sacrificing days are over. When Jesus returns, this time he will be like Patrick Mahomes or Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm back. wielding a two-edged sword, wading through the swath of blood from his vengeance. But we've read the book of Revelation, and a better reading of that scripture pictures Jesus' return as the Lamb, standing as if he had been slaughtered. And the blood he wades through is his own, that he bleeds for our salvation. And yet, through this slaughtered lamb, all heaven and earth will celebrate the new Jerusalem on earth. This is the true message of the book of Revelation. And many Christians can't accept this. Winning by losing? No wonder so many people in our society, even many Christians, are reluctant to follow Jesus' team. Jesus' way of loving all your neighbors, even enemies? Who wants to be on the losing side? And for the disciples, it was even worse because they had betrayed him. When Jesus was arrested, they all ran away except for Peter, who denied him three times. Not only did their Messiah fail, but they had failed Jesus. And the incredible thing is that Jesus bothered to show up at all rather than just firing the whole bunch of them. A lot of that's going on today. But Jesus was back on the winning path now. He was risen from the dead, the conqueror. What he needed was a winning team, the popular, the powerful, the people with means, with political connections and power, who can really build a church for success. Isn't that what we look for? But that's not the way Jesus plays this game of life or church. Instead, Jesus came with peace rather than vengeance for his disciples' betrayal. Jesus came with forgiveness, calling these disciples, these failures, into God's service again, forgiving them and sending them out into the world with his gospel of forgiveness to others. The Father has sent me, so now I am sending you. Then he breathed on them. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Rather than hiring and celebrating the winners, the popular, the powerful, the blameless, to spread his message of forgiveness, Jesus hired those who truly knew that they themselves had been forgiven. The job description for being a disciple of Jesus begins with knowing how desperate you really are, with knowing how much you are forgiven. It begins by recognizing your own guilt and then having the wonderful experience of being forgiven from it. Life can begin anew in Jesus. There's a joy, a peace of knowing the life-giving power of being forgiven. Why can't we see that forgiveness is what we really need in this world, what this world really needs? To minister peace as Jesus did, his blessing of peace, we must learn to forgive each other, and forgive those around us. Working for shalom, the word for peace, which means wholeness, healing, and prosperity in our church, our neighborhood, our nation, and our world. That's not going to be easy. We may need Jesus to walk through some more locked doors once again, maybe even some locked doors in our own hearts as well. Can we accept a crucified Savior. Our risen Savior is still walking through locked doors. Jesus still calls to us today, saying, "Peace be with you." Jesus still chooses to work through his broken, imperfect church. And Jesus still calls us to help spread the good news, to extend his peace, his healing, his life-giving forgiveness to others. We are disciples. We are on Jesus' team, the forgiven, the forgiven. Believe it or not, Jesus' team will win, but not through power, fame, or fortune. Jesus' team is still winning through love, through self-sacrifice and forgiveness, right here at First Christian Church. That's what brings us together as Christ's church, to celebrate our forgiveness. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven, Jesus says. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. So how can we, who have been forgiven our sins, really retain the sins of others, of any others? We who need forgiveness, who have been forgiven, who have been called to forgive others and share Jesus' message of forgiveness to all the world, we, the church, the forgiven, the losers, just might be the right people for this job after all, with God's help. And that is reason to celebrate. Take-home question, where do we begin sharing this news of forgiveness? Will you pray with me? We thank you, oh God. You didn't just create us and walk away. You don't stand far away and just watch. You are so involved in our lives and in our world, through your Holy Spirit, through your love, through your guidance. You even sent your Son Jesus to show us how to live this life, how to forgive, how to find peace, how to share love, a mutual love for all people, especially those that are the outcasts. Oh God, help us to love like Jesus has shown us. We pray in his name. Amen.